or pull it up on your smart device. 1 Kings chapter 17. And thank you so much, young people, and Sister Kathy and Sister Tammy, for leading that, and the people in the back as well. And looking forward to that Wednesday night service when Brother Charles Boyd comes. We just got a lot of exciting things going on. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we talk about our vision statement before I start preaching? Westmoreland is a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of a place called there. A place called there. 1 Kings chapter 17 verses 1 through 9. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." 1 Kings 17 and verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 3, "Get thee hence and turn, Elijah, get thee hence and turn eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Verse 4. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." What's the next word? I want you to underline that word tonight, okay? Underline it in your Bible. Underline it in your mind. "And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning." Now listen to this. This is before drive-through. This is before an app order and you just pick it up. This is before restaurants. It says the ravens brought him. Do you know what raven is? Raven is a bird. Raven is a bird. Brought him, listen to this, flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. The word flesh just means meat. And I'm telling you, that sound like me, a gourmet meal. Amen. And bread, hallelujah. As long as we got bread, we're doing good. Amen. Bread we call biscuits. Hallelujah. Biscuits, gravy, and bread. Brought by the latest little bird flying in the air. Had a little basket on his, carried him a little basket, dropped it out. Now I want you to know this is the truth. All right. Listen, this is God doing this. Verse 6, one more time. "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Verse 8. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, that belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman," what's that word? "There, to sustain thee." I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of a place called there. Father, tonight, thank you for the reading of the word of God. Thank you for the excitement in the air. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We don't take it for granted. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you touch my body, soul, and spirit tonight. May I decrease. May you increase. And Father, we pray that your word would go forth tonight and help us to find that place called there. And we know that you'll meet far and beyond every need, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them, and you may be seated tonight. Now I want you to give the Lord another hand of praise tonight. Amen. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. A place called there. Let me give you the backdrop of this passage. Israel had forsaken God for many, many years. And as a result, God raised up a prophet by the name of Elijah. And because of their forsaking God, Elijah said to them, drought and famine was coming. And God sent a severe drought. It had not rained for many years. And it was paralyzing the economy. And God was trying to use this so that the people in their desperation would call out to him and have a mighty revival. I pray that it doesn't get to that place in America. But I believe when you study the history of the world, that people tend to forget God, and they forget the Lord on his holy days because they've got other things to do and pleasures and all of that. And they turn to wickedness and sin. And God has to, in his love, send judgment. And through that judgment, people begin to pray and turn back to God. God's not just sending judgment to be a bad God. No, it's judgment is a form of his grace to bring us back. And we need a revival in this country. We need a revival in this world. How many of you will pray that God will send revival before we have to have judgment? If you believe it, say amen tonight. So in the height of that famine, God gave Elijah clear directions. Because I can tell you tonight that in the midst of famine and in the midst of judgment, you can have an ear open and hear the direction and the voice of the Lord. Now, if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4, here's what the Lord said. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, for I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Say those words with me. To feed thee there. And then later on, in another place, God said, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. For behold, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now understand that this word there is very important. Say the word there. Because this implies that if Elijah had been anywhere else but there, he would have missed something. You see, I want you to understand, young people, and I want you to understand, Westmoreland, I want you to understand that there is a place called there. And the question I want to ask you tonight is, are you there? Turn around and ask somebody, are you, don't say, are you here? Say, are you there? Are you there where God has directed? Are you there where God has planned? Are you there where God has ordained? You see, we need to understand something about the anointing. We get the cart before the horse. We pray and fast and cry and desire the anointing of God. But nowhere do you find God's anointing apart from God's appointing. Let me repeat that. You will not get God's anointing if you are not under God's appointing. You can't just be anointed and float here, there, and yonder. God's anointing always coincides. Oh, and the word anointing could be favor, blessing, open door, whatever, a healing, deliverance. God's anointing, kind of an umbrella. God's anointing will always coincide, hallelujah, with God's appointing. In Psalm 133, it says, behold, and how pleasant and good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious anointing or ointment upon the head that ran down the beard. Even Aaron's beard went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Now, where did God command his blessing? You're not hearing me tonight. I'm not hearing you. You might be hearing me. I said, where does God command his blessing? How many of you want to be blessed and highly favored of God? How many of you want God to come in miraculous power? How many of you want God to use you like never before, like you have been called and destined and purposed to do? Well, if you want to, you just can't be any old where. You gotta be. And there is a place that God has called there. That's where the blessing is. That's where the victory is. That's where the power is. That's where the devil trembles. That's where we see signs and wonders and miracles. Oh God, help us to find that place called there. You can survive in the famine. You can survive when people wag their tongues. As long as you are there, brother, God will take care of the rest. And we'll see revival in this land. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? A place called there. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And upon that appointed place, in other words, the Bible says that God said to them there, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice that they did not get an appointing until they met an appointment. Are you with me? Oh, preacher, I want to do this. Preacher, I want to do that. And I'm here and I'm there and everything. But you got to be in a place of appointing before God will give you an appointment. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. There's got to be a place called there. I want to be in that mountain where God has appointed me. I want to be at the brook where God has appointed and commanded the ravens to meet me there. I want to be right in the middle of what God is doing in this generation. I want to find my there at Barton College. I want to find my there at some high school if you're a teenager. I want to find my there as a preacher. And I believe when we get there, God is already there and mighty things are going to happen at a place called there. Give him a hand of praise. Are you there? You see, there, I want to give you three things about there. There is the place, when a place called there is the place of God's purpose. Would you say purpose? You cannot look at the surroundings and then say, ha, this is there. Because if we go by what our eyes see, we may miss our there. Hello? Notice God didn't send Elijah to Hampton Inn. He sent him to the Econo Lodge, I promise you. God didn't say, if Elijah said, well, this is just a brook. I don't see any houses. God didn't say, hey, Elijah, I'm going to send ravens to feed you twice a day. God has a way of keeping you. He just has a way of not telling you everything. He just wants to see if you're going to trust him. I said, there is the place of God's purpose. And God has a purpose and he has a perspective. Because God sees, the Bible says, his ways are higher than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Did you know that you could be on I-95 and get in a traffic jam and all you can see is 15 cars in front of you and 30 cars behind you and you could, that's all you can see. But if you were to get in a helicopter and get on that thing and fly a little bit, somebody say higher. The guy in the helicopter can see far down the road, can tell how much, many more miles you got to go. How many of you would love to have that perspective sometime? But God doesn't give us the perspective. He just gives us the place. Amen. And we just need to find our there. He didn't have any idea. I can imagine, Lord, there's not an oven to bake any food. Oh, Lord, I don't even know how to fish. I don't have a fishing rod. I know there's a brook here. But what he didn't see coming was a raven with some meat and with some bread. And I want you to know that God has a purpose of putting you in rough places. He has a purpose, even if you're in a tough place. He has a purpose and a plan. He's got a perspective. He sees and he declares the end from the beginning. So you just be there and let God be God and let God do what he wants to do in your life in a place called there. You're getting quiet on me. I figured you would. Joseph found his there in a pit for a season. Then he found his there in a penitentiary for a season. But then he found his there in a palace. Woo! Tell somebody you're on the way to the palace. Hallelujah. The pit ain't very fun, is it? But that was his there. And so if he's in the pit and he's there, then just hang on. And then he went to the penitentiary. Because somebody lied on him. And all of you tonight are thinking, well, my life is messed up because somebody did something. You know what? You just need to be there and God can handle somebody what they do. Amen. Because what they did and messed you up and you thought you were here and you were supposed to be there. Let me tell you something. God may just have you there because of the next place. You see, I am not interested in going to another location. I tell you what I am interested in. I'm interested in going to another level. Let me tell you, there's a difference. I'm tired of going from another. Listen, I've been a pastor of 5 churches. I've gone to this location. I've gone to that location. I've gone to that location. But God's put me under a man called Jerry Nelson. I believe with all of my heart not to put me at another location, but to take me to another level. I'm there where God wants me. I want to be under a man and under an anointing because I don't understand it all. But God's got a perspective. And I want to be there. And God wants to take you to another level sometimes. You may be in a pit, but you're on your way to another level. You may be in a penitentiary, but you're on your way to another. Somebody ought to stand and give God a standing ovation. And praise God, I'm going to another location. I'm in another level. Another level. Somebody shout it out. Another level. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. God's got a purpose. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Oh, it's not another level. Excuse me, not another location. It's another level. Amen. So you just let God move you. You let God determine. You find you're there. And you say, well, I don't know where God's leading me. Well, has God said anything to you? Well, I don't know. I don't know where he's leading me. Well, if he hadn't led you anywhere, then he must want you to stay there. No amens, I thought. You know, these little phrase we used to say, the grass looks greener. Do you know what? When you look across that grassy field, just know that somewhere down there, that's where they keep the septic tank. Y'all get that later. The grass may be greener, but it's usually over the septic tank. You might as well just stay there. Amen. You might as well stay right where you are and let God be God. Amen. Amen. There is the place of God's purpose. Say purpose. There is the place of God's provision. I do not believe that if Elijah had been anywhere else but the brook, but there, he'd have never got his meal twice a day by those ravens. I do not believe it. Those ravens were going to show up at one place, and it was the place called there. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 25, I tell you the truth that many widows were in Israel. Now, please understand that after a while, God sent him to a widow in Zidon in Zarephath. So God had another there for him. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was in the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent. Listen to what the Lord said. He said, there were 1,000 widows, but he said, I didn't send him to any of these widows. He said, I had a specific place and a specific widow. Now, by the way, if it's a famine in the land and God says, I'm going to send you down here to a widow, versus if there's a famine in the land and God's going to send me to Bill Gates, don't you think Bill Gates would make a lot more sense? Amen. By the way, those of you who don't know Bill Gates, he's not from Wilson. He's from Washington. Y'all don't know who Bill Gates is. Raise your hand if you know who Bill Gates is. All right, raise your hands if you know Bill Gates. Okay, just wondering. But God didn't send Elijah to Bill Gates. He sent Elijah to this, somebody say, widow. Oh, and Elijah got to the widow's house. And oh, you'd have thought she would have had a meal cooked. And you would have thought she had a room made. You would have thought all of that. But you know what? Elijah came in strolling into town and said, I'm ready for my meal. I'm ready to feast. And the widow looked and said, I've only got enough for me and my child. And it's our last meal because after this, we're probably going to die. God, have you sent me there? What did I tell you? There is the place of God's provision. Elijah looked up and said, honey, I'm here to tell you, this is there. This is where God sent me. And by the way, this is a whole nother sermon. This widow was in another country. And there was no widows in Israel that had faith like this woman. And I'll tell you what, that's where God sends us. He sends us to the hungry, the hurting. He sends us out of our comfort zone. That's another sermon. I'm chasing a rabbit right now. But let me stay there. And God looked at that widow woman and said, honey, let me tell you, I am in that place. This is there. God has sent me here. You bake a cake, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to feed me first. And if you'll feed me first, and if you'll be meaning God, if you'll put God first, I promise you the barrel of oil meal will never go down. The cruise of oil will never deplete. I want you to know there'll be provision. There'll be not just enough, but there'll be more than enough when you find yourself in there. I want to be there. It may not look like a lot, but God's got a lot in store. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is the place. The cruse of oil did not fail and the barrel of meal did not waste. I think about Ruth. Ruth was a stranger from a faraway country. She had married an Israelite and he died. Mother-in-law said, we're going back to live in our homeland. But there was a famine there and God began to bless the people. And the Bible says that Ruth and her mother-in-law came into the town and they didn't have a lot. And there was a Levite law that said you could go to the field of the farm owners and they were instructed according to the Leviticus chapter, and I won't read it to you tonight, but Leviticus chapter 19 instructed the farmers and the harvesters that when you're harvesting the crop, don't get every little crop out there. Leave some gleanings, leave some, after you've gone through the first time, don't go back and get the rest of it. Leave it for the poor to come and glean. And so Ruth was in that category. She had to get up early. She had to go out there and stay at that field and she had to get the leftovers. It was a menial task. But listen, God had a plan for Ruth. And I want you to know that sometimes we have to get up early. Sometimes we have to stay up late. Sometimes we have to do menial work. But the thing is, she was there in the field and she became, she believed that that was her there. And let me tell you how the rest of the story is. And I'm getting cut out a lot of stuff here. But listen, first of all, she gleaned behind the reapers. According to Ruth chapter 2 verse 7, she said, let me glean and gather after the reapers. Then God promoted her and blessed her and she began to glean with the reapers. And Ruth chapter 2 verse 14, Boaz said, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat bread and dip your morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched corn and she did eat and was sufficed. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his men saying, let her glean. Listen, she was gleaning after the reapers. Then she was gleaning with the reapers. And later on in the rest of that story, the reapers were gleaning for her. Why? Because she was there. She was where God had her. I'm here to tell you, God will provide for you if you will be in that place called there. We used to sing a song in the church, Jesus, use me. And Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, y'all know it, help my will to crumble. And I forget the rest, would be great, I'll for you. There's a place called there. Whatever the job, whatever the assignment, whatever the ministry, you follow that pattern. You'll be gleaning after. You'll be an afterthought. And then you'll be into the mix, in with the workers. And then God will promote you. And there'll be people working for you. Not for you, but working with you to see the Lord do a great thing. Somebody say amen. Get in that place called there and watch God provide. John G. Lake was a great preacher of 100 years ago. And I've heard the pastor reference him many times, but there's an interesting story that I read. Here's your history lesson tonight. All right. So he was a very, very wealthy man and God told him to liquidate all of his assets and go to South Africa. And before he got to South Africa, he went through all of his wealth and he literally, had enough money to get the ticket, one way ticket to South Africa. He got into the boat. He had to pay so much money to get off of the boat. Are y'all with me now? That's like getting on a plane and having to pay to get off. But that's the way it was. He had to pay to get off and get into Africa. He had the ticket paid for. He stood in line. He's not, now, Lord, you told me to come to South Africa and I don't have the money to pay to get off this boat. He's moving up, still no money. Moving up, still no money. But God had called him there. And church, when you're there, what is it? It is the place of what? God's. He got to the person in front of him was paying. He was next. He had no money. And all of a sudden he felt a tap on his shoulder. He looked around and a gentleman said, I believe you need this. Gave him the money to get off the boat. As he walked up, he never saw the man again in his life. He got into the country of South Africa and built a powerful, great church. Many, many were saved and healed and delivered. I'm here to tell you tonight, you get in the place of there and watch my God bring those ravens and bring that meal and bring those finances. And I'll tell you, it'll work every time. You just got to be humble. You just got to say, wherever, Lord, I'll be there. Somebody give him another hand of praise here tonight. There is the place of God's purpose. There is the place of God's provision. And finally tonight, there is the place of God's power. Miracles don't happen when all the bills are paid. Miracles don't happen when all the problems are solved. Miracles don't happen when all the solutions are obvious. Let me tell you when miracles happen. Miracles happen when miracles are needed. Can you say amen to that? Miracles happen when miracles are needed. And when you're there, you'll see God's miracles. A lot of people will look at Elijah and say, what a great miracle you performed. No, really, he was just in the right place and the miracle showed up. You see, God's anointing and God's appointing brings God's powerful, powerful display. You know, there's some of you that you've got computers and smart devices, and smartphones, and you can just talk to this phone and ask it a question like, what year did George Washington die? I'll do it right now. Hey, Siri, what year did George Washington die?
George Washington died December 14th, 1799 at age 67 in Mount Vernon.
Wow, isn't that something? I was going to ask... Hey, Siri, how much wood does a woodchuck chuck when a woodchuck chucks wood?
A woodchuck would chuck as much wood as a woodchuck would chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Could chuck woodchucks chucking. Then a woodchuck could chuck wood chucking woodchucks.
Hey, Siri, you're crazy.
But...
Oh... Isn't that amazing? Well, let me tell you something. As amazing as this device is, I've got about 73% battery. And if I don't set that thing down and plug it into a little cord, you can ask how much wood that a woodchuck would chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. I don't know if I'm doing that right or not. What are you trying to say? If you're going to get God's power in your life, you need to be there. I don't care how wonderful a computer is. I don't care how wonderful that equipment is. If it doesn't have the power, brother, it's not going to do a thing. And I'm afraid too many churches, they've got programs, and I'm for programs. You know that. We need those. We've got property and we need property, and we've got people and we've got stuff. But I'm going to tell you, there's one thing a lot of churches are lacking, and that's the power of Almighty God. Because what good is the lights and the building and the property and the programs if the drug addicts aren't getting set free? If young people aren't getting sanctified and prayed on through to Pentecost? Let me tell you, we need to get there. There is the place of God's power. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Are you there? Turn around and ask somebody, are you there? Jesus said, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And I want you to know that if they had been anywhere but there, they would not have seen or felt the power of Pentecost in their lives. Can you say amen tonight? The Bible says that Jesus was seen of about 500. But only 120 showed up there. And my friend, don't be part of that 380. Those people who we never heard from. Those people who lived their lives. You need to be there where God has you. And you need to, whether it's a pit, whether it's a penitentiary, I promise you when He brings you there, He will not leave you there. He will do the incredible. He will do the awesome. And He will do the amazing. If you believe that, would you stand with me tonight and give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Brother Clark, if you'll come tonight. Oh, God. The world was changed when people, the right people, were in the right place at the right time. I want to tell you that there are times in my life when I was there, brother, and I knew I was there. And then there were times in my life when I got out of there and realized what a big mistake it was. So I want to call to you tonight as a church. And I believe this applies to teenagers. I believe it applies to deacons. I believe it applies to Sunday school teachers. I want you to ask God to open your eyes to see the provisions that you might not even be realizing. You say, well, I only have one in my Sunday school class. You can go ahead and start playing. I only have one in my Sunday school class. Can I remind you that Joseph only had two? All he had was two. And he interpreted their dreams. And that was his ticket to his next there. Amen. Would you step out of your seat? Because you know where I believe God wants to give some provision. You know where I believe God wants some purpose. And you know where I believe God wants you to get connect was right here, there in this altar. Would you come and let's join in prayer tonight? Heavenly Father, we just come tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to find our there, wherever it may be. Lord, you may open doors. And you may close doors, but God, help us to be there. Help us to be faithful there. Help us to be trusting there. Help us to love you there. Help us, God, to go not to another location, but help us to go to another level. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that we won't miss you because of the circumstances. God, that we won't miss our opportunity if we have just one in our Sunday school class. Oh, God, help us. Let this Westmoreland be a place of power. Let Westmoreland be a place of provision. It is already a place of purpose. You've got us here for a reason, for a purpose. And we're there, God. And God, help us to be there. Let us be endued with power. Lord, let us have that anointing in the place of your appointing. And God, will do the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Oh, we can feel your mind. I can hear the brush of angels.